The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Another beautiful afternoon here in lovely Edstone. A little chilly still, but we're certainly moving our way through this new calendar year. Well, Prince Harry last night made his, I guess this would be his first public statement since the correction, I guess you could call it that, that came down Saturday evening from the Queen, who basically said he didn't have any more royal duties. He is no longer a prince, and he's going to have to pay for the apartment, all of the refurbishments for that. And so he gives this speech. I'm not quite sure. I didn't read too much about the gathering itself. I assume it's somewhere in London. But here's his reaction to all that's happened over the last couple of weeks. Clip 7.
Once Meghan and I were married, we were excited. We were hopeful. And we were here to serve. For those reasons, it brings me great sadness that it has come to this. It was so many months of talks after so many years of challenges. And I know I haven't always gotten it right, but as far as this goes, there really was no other option. What I want to make clear is, we're not walking away. Our hope was to continue serving the Queen, the Commonwealth, and my military associations, but without public funding. Unfortunately, that wasn't possible. It has been our privilege to serve you, and we will continue to lead a life of service. So in that respect, nothing changes.
So he emphasizes the fact that they're still here to serve, as you've heard on this program, but even from the Telegraph and other publications, I guess especially in print media, quite a lot of criticism aimed at these two, Prince Harry and his wife Meghan, about their unwillingness to serve and to fulfill their duty. So I think what you heard there is in response to some of that that fierce criticism. He says he's still there to serve, and he's not walking away. I think the implication is that that he's being pushed out, and that he and his wife tried and tried and tried and tried. So now it's going to be about who, as we said yesterday, it's probably going to die down a little bit now. But going forward, both sides, I would imagine, are going to be working hard to establish the narrative. And you can be sure that most in the media are probably going to side with the young people, the celebrities, the actresses, that sort of thing. That's typically what we see. So just to follow up in some of the programs we've had in recent weeks, yesterday you can go back to the trumpet.com website for more on that royal motto, I serve. We also talked about it a week ago Monday as well. We've been right on top of this story. So you could listen to some of those old podcasts if you want more information. Well, over in the U.S., of course, today is the big day of impeachment, I guess, depending upon who you are. As I commented yesterday, there's quite a few people that really don't care. There was the radio host that said that the impeachment was a big yawner, as he called it, and that a lot of Americans are just tuning this out. You may have seen a news clip recently, too, about the Jeopardy episode, the game show. At first, I just kind of laughed and moved on. But as someone noted on a blog that I read as well, you know, Jeopardy is not it's not the easiest game in the world. These are, generally speaking, these are pretty smart people that are playing that game, and they showed a picture of Adam Schiff on Jeopardy, and of course, the answer was to name who that is, and you had an English professor, a librarian, and a tutor, a teacher, a librarian, a teacher, and an English professor, and none of them knew who he was. None of them knew Adam Schiff. I think that might say something about what a lot of people in America think about the hoax, about the circus. They know it's a ridiculous show. They know it's all for show. So it starts up today, and you've got both sides arguing over the rules. But this time around, of course, you've got Republicans that have the majority. So the rules, it looks like anyway, they're going to be very different with Mitch McConnell presiding over it. This was Senator Schumer's reaction to the rules that I guess McConnell laid these out last night. Clip one.
A trial where there's no evidence, no existing record, and no new evidence, no witnesses, no documents. That isn't a trial at all. It's a cover-up.
So he wants witnesses, he wants new evidence. They don't have enough evidence, and they've basically admitted that. That's what that the implication there, or he doesn't state it overtly, but he's admitting they don't have enough. The New York Times recently made a similar point, and that's why they're screaming for more witnesses to be introduced, for more evidence to be introduced. They want this to be another special counsel investigation. They want it to be the second coming of Robert Mueller. 32 months, millions and millions of dollars. All of these resources, all of these subpoenas, all of these investigations, interviews. They want it to continue forever because they know it's more than just, and several commentators on the right have made this point, but it's more than just they know they don't have enough evidence as it stands. They get the sense, too, that they're going to have a hard time beating him in November. So this is all they have left. This is all that they have left. Listen to this media montage just to, again, expose, as if we haven't done that before, the hypocrisy. Here they are in 1999 when the roles were reversed and it was a Democrat who was being impeached. And Republicans were saying, let's get some more witnesses involved. And then the media rushing to the defense of Bill Clinton. This is from 20 years ago, a little more than 20 years ago. Clip two.
The whole issue has been a sham. It shouldn't have gotten this far. The House acted improperly in passing it on to the Senate.
Why is your party dragging this thing out?
Why is this happening?
Why go through all this this business about witnesses?
Do we really need more witnesses?
It's going to add months to this thing.
We should stop this.
This bogus inflated case.
And get on with business of governance.
Will these people just get down to business and leave this impeachment thing alone?
It's going to be an enormous distraction to the White House and all kinds of issues that the Congress ought to be considering.
There's a long line of the people's business that seems to have been put aside and apparently is going to be put aside for weeks, if not months now.
We begin tonight with the voice of the people.
The visitor who got up and shouted, God Almighty, take the vote and get it over with.
God Almighty, the man said, take the vote and get it over with.
You know who the hero of this whole thing is? It's the guy who stood up in the Senate gallery last week and said, good God, vote and get over with this, will you?
This process is Stalinist.
His actions certainly do not warrant impeachment.
Is there not some concern of the public perception in some quarters, not all of them Democratic, that this is in fact a kind of effort at a quote coup?
That herd of managers from the House. I mean, frankly, all they were missing was white sheets. They were like night riders.
One White House official told me today, in 20 years, he said, people will remember three things about this: that the president was impeached in the House, that he was acquitted in the Senate, and that the whole thing was a partisan hit job.
That's from 1999. You certainly see what side the media are on. They're just mouthpieces for the Democratic Party. They speak for the Democrats. An overwhelming majority in the media, they speak for Democrats. In a lot of ways, they push the agenda. They're out in front of the Democrats. We've played clips before where you've had the media members just egging on the Democrats. Well, some have suggested that you might be able to now do this. And then the Democrat responds, well, yes, that's certainly something that we might be able to do. You know they're on the side of the Democrats. So the Democrat now, the roles are reversed. And of course, we've got to have witnesses. We've got to string this out. This is what America wants, they say. And of course, for those that would compare the two impeachments, there's really nothing to compare. They're very different. That I think it was 11 felonies spelled out in the impeachment of Bill Clinton. Felonies like lying under oath, obstructing justice, witness tampering, those kinds of things. They were actually spelled out in the articles of impeachment. This time around, there's nothing. There's no felonies listed. They put it in these vague general terms, abuse of power and obstructing Congress. And so it goes forward. I'm not sure how much we'll get into it. I guess if it kicks off later today, we might be able to see some clips tonight. But who knows? If the Democrats get their way, they're going to want to string it out as long as is possible. And it'll be interesting. Like I said yesterday, that radio host that commented that his listeners are really only interested because of wanting to see how many Republicans will just stand up to this tyranny coming from the radical left. It's on display in Virginia state government. Ralph Northam, he's the one that made those appalling comments about abortion. A year or two ago, we played those clips for you. He's also in the news for wearing the blackface a while back. He's still in charge. I think he came in 2017 as Virginia's new governor. And then just last year, the Democrats gained control of the state legislature as well. So they've got a majority across the board. A radical leftist as governor. And the Democrats that are now calling the shots in the Virginia General Assembly as well. This is a state, Virginia, that's gone from red to blue in just a few short years. And these are blue leaders that want to turn it into a California. They want to turn it into San Francisco. This is from an article at American Greatness. Tyranny at the door in Virginia. It says, in part, these events transpired because of the efforts of Michael Bloomberg and George Soros to put Virginia in their crosshairs by dumping millions of dollars into state and local elections. It says, with Northam at the helm and a General Assembly ready to back his every wish, gun control legislation began pouring into the Capitol. They know they've got their opportunity now. The radicals are in control. And so here comes all the gun legislation, gun control. It says earlier this week, the state Senate Judiciary Committee voting along straight party lines. That's what we're coming to see on so many of these hot button issues. It's just divided right along party lines. That's the way it was with impeachment. Now here we are with gun control. The country just deeply divided. Deeply divided. We're reading through, as some of you know, we're reading through Sandberg's biography on Abraham Lincoln. And at least I'm right at the part where you're in the mid to late 1850s. And you see all of these events leading up to the Civil War. It's a good time to study some of this history, given what your Bible prophesies about the United States and Britain as well. It says earlier this week, the state Senate Judiciary Committee voting along straight party lines passed bills that would require background checks on all private transfer of firearms, let owners keep their banned firearms only if they register with the Virginia State Police, and ban suppressors of any magazines over 10 rounds. The committee also passed red flag legislation. Now, for those who aren't familiar with these kinds of laws, or even just for those living outside of the United States, all of that sounds fairly reasonable. I think people living outside the U.S. are just astonished at how many guns are in the United States. I think it's up to like 393 million. That's a lot of weapons. Leading the way, in any event, these red flag laws They basically mean that, you know, anyone who complains about you says you're dangerous. You're a threat. If they go to the federal authorities, the authorities could conceivably confiscate your weapon, your firearm. These new laws that they're looking to pass in Virginia, they would also ban certain rifles. They're upping the standards, I guess, with respect to registration, as you just heard from that article I quoted. But of course, there's people who are gun owners saying, we know where this is headed. This is just a giant step toward confiscation, and we're not going to stand for it. And so that's what led up to yesterday's protest. You had tens of thousands of people around the Capitol in Richmond, Virginia, showing up with quite a lot of guns. And of course, the media, they were hoping for some kind of violent incident. They wanted this so badly to be another Charlottesville. Listen to the way the media covered this protest yesterday. Clip 3.
Right now, thousands of gun rights activists, white nationalists, militia groups, all swarming the Virginia state capitol.
There are a lot of people nervous about what's going to happen.
Authorities in Richmond are on high alert.
White supremacists.
Supposedly some white nationalists.
White nationalists.
White nationalists.
White nationalists.
White nationalist groups.
White supremacists.
White supremacists.
White supremacists.
White extremists.
Bracing for violence.
Could turn violent.
And turn violent.
How concerned are you that there might be some people in this crowd that may want to get violent?
There's certainly a lot of concern here.
Raising fears of a dangerous confrontation.
It could be violence. And there is real concern there about what the intention is behind this.
There's a lot of concern about the potential for violence.
Could spark violence. Tensions high in Virginia may cause violence there.
Northam clearly trying to avoid another Charlottesville.
Yeah. In Charlottesville. Could see a repeat of what we saw in 2017 in Charlottesville.
Similar to what we saw in Charlottesville.
Worrying about a repeat of Charlottesville.
Horrible 2017 Charlottesville disaster.
You look at what happened in Charlottesville.
The two sides clashed in Charlottesville.
Many demonstrators are, in fact, heavily armed.
Heavily, heavily armed.
Heavily armed. Look at the gear.
What is this all about?
Militia groups. Armed militia.
These militia groups.
Far-right militias.
Militia.
Militia groups.
Far-right extremists. Extremists. Extremists.
Look, those threats which caused the governor to call for a state of emergency have simply not emerged. The police very clear in saying that they have not had a single arrest during this rally.
So there you get a little bit of a truth bomb at the end of the montage. No violence, no arrests. Everything was fine. But you the same talking points right across the board. Violence, white nationalists, definitely lots of white nationalists. Another Charlottesville. You see the way that they skew the news. It's all going to fit within their narrative. They really ran with it following Charlottesville. They even twisted and distorted that, of course. But here you have all of these peaceful protesters, and they treat it like it's a KKK rally. These were Virginian hillbillies, basically, gun owners, showing up saying we have Second Amendment rights. They can't even report it truthfully because they want to stir up a fight. They want to inflame hostilities and rage. They want to add fuel to the fire. And both sides are digging in their heels. It really is scary when you think about where it's leading. Bible prophecy, of course, gives us some insights. But as is typically the case, you have the radical leftists and you have the media trying to fan the flames of hate. There was an NBC reporter who tweeted that the rally was a white nationalist rally. And then he got some criticism for it and deleted it. This is a reporter. CNN, you heard some of their clips in that montage, doing anything that they could to dig up neo-Nazis, white nationalists. No wonder these people are afraid that their guns are going to be confiscated. But you heard at the end, overall it was a peaceful protest. People, yes, with their guns, saying that this is unconstitutional. Now, that's the real storyline. Is what Governor Northam and the Democrats in the Virginia legislature, is what they're doing lawful? Is it constitutional? Well, speaking of this peaceful protest, listen to this protester. He was one in the mix, and I can guarantee you CNN and MSNBC, they weren't chasing this guy down for an interview. Clip 4.
They want to liken this to Charlottesville, and they want to anticipate crime and violence, but these are peaceful people who come around with their weapons, and they're showing up here to send one message, and that is a message of unity. This government thinks this is just white people, just a few black people. There are people here who are united from the hills, from the mountains, from the valleys, and the message is one message, and that is that we want the Second Amendment to remain intact. You have a lot of people who are carrying guns. It's not a shot that's been fired. These are civil people. These are citizens of Virginia. These are citizens of the United States. And we want that message to go out that the governor simply cannot blanket or cannot put in one blanket what he feels happened in Charlottesville somehow is going to transcend to Virginia.
That's one of the protesters, a black man and a gun owner, who's protesting in favor of upholding the Second Amendment. Well, as I say, it's Democrats in charge now, and so they're rushing to pass legislation that they probably know is going to be struck down in the courts, but still they're ramrodding their way forward, just itching for a fight. The media there, egging both sides on. That American Greatness piece, it says, most observers are of the opinion that this legislation will be jammed through on the state Senate floor next week. Mind you, all of this, Democrats claim, is common sense gun control meant to deter criminals. That's a lie. It's yet another attempt by the gun grabbers on the left to disarm private citizens. The good news is that Virginians are not taking the Democrats' efforts lying down. Across the state, the grassroots have come alive. To date, 124 counties, listen to this, 124 counties, cities, and localities have declared themselves sanctuaries for the Second Amendment. Most of the state, they're declaring themselves sanctuaries. That they've turned the tables on the radical left, who have all these sanctuary cities for illegal immigrants. And here's those on the right saying, all right, well, we can do the same thing. It says these jurisdictions have made it clear they will refuse to enforce any anti-Second Amendment legislation coming from Richmond. And you've got all these sheriffs in these counties across Virginia that are lining up saying, we're not going to enforce it, because we are here to defend the Constitution of the United States. Listen to this county sheriff and what he said last week, clip 5.
And the last time I read the Declaration of Independence, it specifically reminds all of us that we're endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, which means God-given, among these life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, and that governments were instituted among men specifically to secure our God-given rights. And it says when government becomes destructive to these ends, meaning when they go above and beyond trying to secure our liberties and trying to take them, it's the right of the people to alter or abolish that government, either by voting or ultimately, God forbid, to use our Second Amendment rights to protect ourselves from tyranny. And I'm just asking all of y'all to unanimously join our sister counties of Wilkes, Surrey, Stokes, Lincoln, and Cherokee and get on board with this thing and publicly demonstrate to us that you're willing to uphold and honor the same oath I took when I put my hand on God's word and held my other hand up to him and swore that I'd give my life to defend that Constitution. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but regardless of what y'all do or don't do, I'm not going to enforce an unconstitutional law. I'm going to protect.
Pretty strong words from a county sheriff there in Virginia. I'm not going to enforce an unconstitutional law. Now, for again, I'm not a gun owner and I have no part in this fight. The war is over law. It is true. America has become a violent society, and we have mass killings and mass derangement. Satan's been cast down. His demons are confined to this earth. He is stirring up wrath, and a lot of the most hardened killers are using powerful weapons. There's a section in the No Freedom, America Under Attack. I'll come to it in just a bit, but my father goes into the reason for the Second Amendment, and that's what doesn't get covered here. They say, well, the radical left says, well, why would you need a powerful rifle if you're just deer hunting? Well, there's more to the story. And the Declaration, together with the Bill of Rights, it makes it clear why the founders actually wanted this, the right to bear arms. But you won't hear about that, except from a guy like that sheriff, who's there quoting from the Declaration of Independence. What happens when a government becomes tyrannical? Well, then the people, this is the American thinking, the people have the right to alter or abolish that government. That's in the Declaration of Independence. This guy that wrote the article at American Greatness, he just pointed out an uncomfortable truth, that if the government ever comes after our guns, how do you think Virginians are going to respond to that? Well, you look at Ezekiel 4 and 5, and you can see where this is leading. It's beginning to break down in front of our eyes. We're seeing it. Virginia is just a glimpse into the future. No violence yesterday, even though the media hoped for it. But sadly, there will be violence in the end. It says here, the problem that Northam, Herring, and the rest of the statists in the Democratic Party have is that they're in defiance of natural law and the purpose of Republican government. The chief purpose of government in a republic is to protect the property and rights of citizens who have come together in voluntary association. This is why America's founders wanted people to be armed, not just for the purpose of constituting a well-regulated militia, not just guns for hunting, but a well-armed people as a last recourse against tyranny, both foreign and domestic. Yes, domestic, he says. That's what the sheriff was pointing out, as a last resort. This author says, and for those who wonder if I fully trust my government, of course I don't. This is a common sentiment. Of course I don't. Don't be ridiculous. Government is a necessary evil because men are not angels. But trust? Not a chance. These are individuals, many of them, who want to uphold the Constitution. They came out there yesterday in full force, even with their weapons. And yet they don't trust their government. And then you have the other extreme, the side that wants to bring the government and the whole system down with it. It's an interesting contrast, by the way. You look at Antifa, they don't always show up with guns, and yet they trash and burn and smash things in their way. And then here all the hillbillies show up with their guns and nobody messes with them. Nothing happens. I think that's another case to be made for these school shootings, of putting one of these guys with one of those powerful weapons on duty as a security guard in those schools. It's becoming so dangerous. Lunatics. Even if you started confiscating the weapons, how could you possibly get rid of 393 million? And the place to start is not with these kinds of law-abiding citizens. It's with the common criminal. Criminals that get right back on the streets. After being in jail for, a few years, so many of them. Here they want leniency for the criminals. And they want to crack down on the people that aren't breaking the law. Even if it means trashing the Constitution. It says in this article, It talks about how that this is not likely to make it through the Supreme Court. But the thing, again, we want to keep our minds on, this guy says at the end of his piece that, look, hopefully this means that next time around at the ballot box, we'll be able to get some of these Democrats out of power and try to fix this. Right now, as Abraham Lincoln said, the ballot is stronger than the bullet, but how long is that going to hold? How much longer are people going to rely on the ballot to fix things? Look at how Democrats won't accept the results of the 2016 election. The ballot didn't turn out that well for them, and so now they're doing everything else they can. Impeachment is just the latest attempt to undermine the Constitution of the United States. They want, like I said earlier, they want another Bob Mueller investigation. They just want it to go on and on and on, I guess all the way through 8 years of a Trump presidency. Just investigate it and try to slow him down, try to knock him off, go after his family. Whatever it takes to return to power. My father, as I said in that section, you'll find this on page 29 of America Under Attack. He says, the mindset behind the radical Democrats is exposed when you look at their handling of another issue, gun control. Every time there's a school shooting, even before any facts and about the situation come out, they immediately begin pushing for gun bans. After the most recent shooting, they funded student groups and encouraged students to revolt against authorities. They don't just want to raise the buying age or to restrict the sale of a few types of guns. They want to eliminate all guns. It's worse than that, he says. They hate the Second Amendment and they want to destroy the Constitution. They want a revolution. You see, it's all part of the plan. So the media, they hyperventilate yesterday. They hope for violence. They want another violent incident. They want another excuse to be able to follow through on trashing the Second Amendment. My father says further on, the radical left wants to take away people's guns, at least the guns of law-abiding people. The criminals are not about to give up their guns. No way, they'll keep their guns. They manage to keep their guns. They get them from the black market and wherever. They don't care about registering. They don't care about the magazine size or how many bullets are in the magazine. That section in America Under Attack, it really is spot on given what's happening in Virginia. Where's the point? My father makes basically the same point you heard in that American Greatness piece about how the founders, or what the founders were thinking about with respect to the right to bear arms. It says, government tyranny, this is my father writing, government tyranny is routine in human history, and they know it. Why are they so deceitful? Is it because they have an ulterior motive? Let's not be naive and think something like that could never happen here. Our forefathers weren't stupid. They wanted to guarantee Americans freedom. They really knew that God was a God of freedom. He wants us to be free. That's a gift from God, and they understood that. He says, finally, I wonder how many Americans even know that the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. See, these sheriffs, they took an oath. They took an oath to uphold and to defend the Constitution. And you've got a governor with all these extreme views, and now he has the backing of a Democrat legislature. And so they're squaring off. Both sides digging in their heels. Well, my father went on to talk about President Obama and some of the executive actions that he took during his presidency to restrict firearms. And he says here, the president is so eager to restrict guns, but what is he doing to stop drug cartels making inroads into America? It really doesn't make sense, does it? take guns away from law-abiding citizens, and then just open the border. Make sure the border's wide open so drug cartels can just come right on in with their weapons, their drugs, and everything else. So much division. So much chaos. It's about to boil over. Jeremiah won a boiling pot. That's, of course, referring mainly to Europe, but still, the whole world's about to boil over. When we come back, we'll look at or continue with this subject or this study of weapons, not just in the firearms sense, but weapons on a mass scale worldwide. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, and even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Fleury's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England, this is the Trumpet Daily Program with Stephen Fleury.
A new study by a Swedish think tank has found that the world's 100 largest weapons companies saw an increase in sales in 2018. Sales totaled $420 billion, which is a 4.6% increase over 2017. And get this, a 47% increase since 2002. There's an arms race all over the world, whether it's smaller firearms or the larger weapons of war. What is happening to this world? This think tank, Stockholm International Peace Research Institute, this is the group that conducted this study, it found that the largest increase came from American companies, but European companies also saw an increase in sales. We've talked before about how Germany is one of the leading arms suppliers in the world as well. But the largest companies or producers come from the United States. And let me tell you, business is booming. If you're in the market for purchasing weapons, and a lot of people and nations are, there are plenty of suppliers. So you see the same trend, right? This trend of weapons and armament boosts. It's following the same trajectory as gun sales in the United States. 393 million guns. In the U.S., there's 120 guns per 100 people. There's more guns, more firearms in the United States than there are people, incredibly. We're living in a dangerous world. Governments are boosting weapons production, stockpiling armaments, and private citizens particularly in America, they're doing the same thing because of all of the unease and tension, because of all of the division and strife, because people are worried or fearful. What happens when you have all these weapons and then there's a crisis? That's what my father's talked about so often. These are relatively good times because, like we've said so many times on this show, there's a temporary resurgence and there are some things in the economy that are going pretty good. But what happens when there's a sudden calamity or collapse? Are guns going to really protect citizens in the United States? Even if they're living in a remote location in a hill somewhere and they've got their stockpile of food and weapons, is that really going to save them from what's coming? Is that going to protect them? It's important. It's easy to zero in on relatively smaller incidents like the protests in Richmond yesterday and then to get all riled up and, you know, join one side or the other mentally. But it's important to step back and to see this in perspective. God said in Haggai 2, I will shake the nations. He's going to shake nations before this is all said and done. Now, he's delivering an earth-shaking message. An earth-shaking message that few people will listen to and heed. So he's about to shake all nations. My father wrote in 2014, this is global. This has never happened before. This is the end time, and it is happening to all nations. Even now, many are shaking, and all of them should be. This verse could read, the world is descending into chaos. That's what it could read. The world is descending into chaos, and it's a chaotic world with lots and lots of weapons, with lots and lots of firepower. Matthew 24, verses 6 and 7, Jesus said, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Yesterday on the show, toward the end, we talked about the coming world war. And as part of that, we could well talk about the coming civil war in the United States. But eventually, this violence is going to touch every nation. Jesus said in verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. See, here is your your safety, your protection. If you're one of the elect, the very elect, it's for the elect's sake that God intervenes and prevents man from actually wiping out all of mankind. Armaments are not going to save us. Firearms are not going to save us. What we need is God and his protection. What we need is God and his direction, his support, his help, his power. It says in 2 Peter 2, and verse 9, that the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. See, God knows how to deliver. God knows how to protect. I've been using this well-known psalm in a couple of my lectures of late. Psalm 23, short little psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. Most people are familiar with this. But it says here, the Lord is my shepherd, verse 1, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me to the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. It says, thou anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the eternal forever. That's who we need on our side. Our shepherd, our protector. And if we have him on our side, we can walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Or as I read from that listener down in Australia, we can walk through fire with God. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We better have God on our side. We wrote an article at The Trumpet back in 2012. As gun sales rise, what is your source of protection? Joel Hilliker wrote, God does promise in many scriptural passages that in the coming tribulation, he will provide a special place of protection for his people. There's no limit on God's ability to intervene on your behalf except the quality of your faith and obedience. That's what limits us. That's what makes us vulnerable. It's when we're faithless. It's when we're not looking to God. Mr. Hilliker says here, the question is about to become one of life and death. Do you have God's protection? Do you have God looking out for you? Do you have God protecting you? Is God your shepherd? There's another psalm, Psalm 33, which would also be helpful to read. It says, there is no king save by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. And Horace is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any of his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Eternal is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death. That's verse 19. And to keep them alive in famine, our soul waits for the Eternal. He is our help and our shield. God is our help. He is our shield. Listen to this clip from Mr. Armstrong, Herbert Armstrong. This is an old radio show from back in the 60s. And he talks here about looking to this God for protection. Clip 6.
Listen, when God says, I'm going to punish, God punishes. When God says he will protect you, he will protect you. When God says he'll do a thing, God does it. God is no liar. God has power to keep his word, and God tells the truth. You can call every man a liar, but don't ever call God a liar, because God cannot lie. And God says here that the man is happy who will come under his protection, because that protection is absolute. If you want security, my friends, there it is. And the way to come to it is by surrender. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto God, because God's ways, God's thoughts are not yours or ours. And when you really have the Spirit of God, you'll see things in a different way. You won't argue about things in the Bible, about what you should and shouldn't do. You'll understand, and you'll be led by the Spirit of God. So that man is happy. And verse 2, the man who calls the Eternal my refuge and my fortress. Yes, God is your refuge. You don't need to have a big barrier built out of rock or stone or mortar or brick or something of that sort, and the kind of barriers that armies provide in military maneuvers. You know, they can be battered down. But let me tell you, my friends, the refuge and the fortress, who is Christ and who is God, can't be battered down. There is no power in heaven or earth that can batter that fortress down. That's Almighty. So, the man is very happy who can call the Eternal my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust.
And that's Herbert Armstrong from back in the 1960s. Great message there. God is our fortress. What a fortress. It just can't be battered down. When we come back, we'll conclude today's program with some listener feedback. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Are we living in the last days? Some dismiss the notion as fanatical, but world leaders and news analysts are issuing warnings that are becoming more and more dire. Could Bible prophecies about the last days actually be accurate? Our brochure can help guide you through the relevant news and history and help you compare these events to what the Bible says. Are we living in the last days? This brochure is available for free right now at thetrumpet.com. From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England, this is the Trumpet Daily Program with Stephen Flurry.
A little bit of feedback here from you listeners. One says it defies understanding how blatantly lawless leaders can have such a negative influence on so many. Is it because people are lacking knowledge of history and how our government is supposed to govern? I have to admit, I have been one of the uneducated. Thank you for educating us. Another one here says, thank you. This program seems to have a bittersweet message to prepare ourselves for the beginning. Another one here says, good morning from Roxboro, North Carolina. Thank you for a wonderful program. Praying God will bless you and the work you are doing. Those are in response to yesterday's show. A few here from Friday's program. One says, amazing and funny. You will watch this twice. What did I say on Friday that was funny? I'll have to go back and look myself. Another one says, I love the posts from the Philadelphia Trumpet. Better and best news coverage than any other media. Another one here says, thank you for up-to-date news on what's happening in the U.S. and around the world. Well explained with Bible prophecy to back it up. Love it. Another one says, I've been trying to watch this live stream for 2 weeks here on Facebook. God is awesome. The truth is hard to hear, but necessary always. Another one asks if he can join the book club. We have the book club page, by the way, on the Trumpet Daily Radio Show section of the website. So you don't really need to do anything to join it other than to buy the book yourself and then to enjoy the video lectures and discussions that we post. We also post a little bit of a summary on each book club. I think we had the first Lincoln video posted just yesterday. So if you want to join along with us, you're on your own, but we'd certainly love to hear from you. Another one, these are a few in response to the Middle East in Prophecy program. I talked a little bit about that yesterday, the video we had play in the UK over the weekend. It says, Trumpet, could you please send me your Trumpet magazines and books? Another one says, I love the prophecies of the Trumpet. I understand so much more. And also your books. Thank you. Thank you for sharing your knowledge with us. Do you think the earth is flat? What does the scripture say about that? Who could not understand that yet? Another one here, a few from the book club. It says, this book club is an excellent and welcomed addition to the week. Thank you so much to Mr. Flurry and the club. And then another one says, loved this first session on Abraham Lincoln. How fabulous. A few in response to last week's programs. It says, such an amazing show. We do not hear this anywhere else. Thank you for this show and for God's truth. So glad you're doing this live stream. I really needed it. And then another one, I'm shocked that they're going on with this impeachment proceeding. This is not good for the country. Another listener says, such a wonderful program and deep topics and no one else covers or even tells the truth about. Thank you and thank God for this program and so many of the hardworking staff, praying for all of you. America is under attack, but remember God Almighty rules over all. Another one here says, what a coincidence that they held off on their big impeachment ceremony. This is in response to last Thursday's program. But what a coincidence. They held off on their big impeachment ceremony until the day President Trump signs the first phase of the U.S.-China deal, and all the fake mainstream media has wall-to-wall coverage of impeachment, one of the biggest deals ever made between the U.S. and China, and the Dems can't bear it. It's so transparent. One last one here says, such an amazing show. We do not hear this anywhere else. Thank God for this show and for his truths. Well, that's all that we have time for on today's program. If you'd like to submit feedback, you can reach us at td@kpcg.fm. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We'll see you tomorrow.